Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 51 for September 5th, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, The Real Mother Effing News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School, and before I introduce the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with me directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMoviesDOTNet. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel this week. We'll start off with our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset. We got Kebo Trek.
Yo, yo.
And we got Carp.
What up?
What up? All right, let's introduce the stories for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
James Spader officially cast as Ultron. Benedict Cumberbatch has a role in Star Wars Episode 7. Dakota Johnson and Charlie Hunnam set to lead 50 Shades of Grey movie. Kurt Russell gets back behind the wheel for his role in Fast and Furious 7. Zack Snyder wanted mass deaths in his final battle for Man of Steel. And to end our news stories for this week, Aaron Paul, Sigourney Weaver, and more to be in Ridley Scott's Exodus. Heavy set, Mr. Iron Man, what would you like to discuss this week?
How about Cumberbatch has a role in Star Wars?
Now, I have to preempt this with, it is a rumor. It is apparently a solid rumor, but it is a rumor. Let's get into the news story. Before anyone gets carried away, keep in mind that this is a huge rumor coming in from Film Chronicles, an untested source for this type of information. After playing Khan in Star Trek Into Darkness, spoiler alert, yellow, for director J.J. Abrams, it sounds like Sherlock Benedict Cumberbatch might shack up with the filmmaker again in another sci-fi role in another huge sci-fi franchise. Supposedly, the actor is waiting in the wings for an announcement from Disney and Lucasfilm that he will have a role in Star Wars Episode 7. Heavy set, being a Star Trek fan myself, I just don't think this is a good idea to cross the streams, but I mean, he does have the acting credentials. You being of Doctor Who fame, actually, no, he's in Sherlock, so, but you do watch these British type of TV shows, so he can definitely pull the role off. I just do not like the fact that they're mixing the two. What do you think about this?
Well, first off, tell him about the Twinkie. But anyway.
The what?
Ghostbusters reference? Come on. If you're going to make one, I'm going to make one.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I kind of like this. I think it's where we're kind of going. It seems a lot of these movies nowadays, you're getting some of the actors doing multiple roles. It seems like just last week we were talking about Chris Evans and how he's done two particular roles. And even though that's still in the Marvel Universe and this is crossing over the big line, I think this is a good idea. And I want to see if it's true and what they do with him. I think if he does anything, I would not be surprised if he's a villain, because it just seems like a lot of British actors, that's what they're used for.
Always demonized in the film industry.
Yeah, well, demonized in the film industry, demonized by Americans. Americans. Because of our long history with them, and it seems like if you want a villain, no matter where you're looking, it's British play some of the most classic villains ever, even down to William Regal.
There you go. Anybody else want to discuss?
I like him joining the other franchise. I mean, look, it's the same director as the Star Wars, so Star Trek. So why not bring an actor or two over at the same time? And yeah, British are stereotypical evil in movies, especially British kids, man. They creep the shit out of me in movies. So.
You know who's a creep? A.H. Walker. No, nobody gets that, but actually the wrestling fans would get that. I don't know. I can't see Star Wars people liking this, because now too many people are going to creep onto this. Captain Kirk's going to be like, or what's his, who played Kirk again? Tip of Chris my tongue Pine. Here. Chris Pine's going to be like, he's going to be Han Solo or something. Like, I don't see this going well or being reacted well from
Twitter.
They're
making more prequels, because that's the only way he could be Han Solo. Sequels, dude. It's going to be the Skywalker children.
There you go. So. That could be Skywalker's kid or Han Solo's kid, maybe.
Eh, It depends what storyline they're going with. It's supposed to be something new and original, though, so we'll see.
Yeah. Kebo Trek, you got any thoughts on this?
Be okay with it if he's not a villain again.
Yeah, but he's just like, just look at his face. Like, he's evil. Oh, he's an evil seed.
Well, I think if they put him as a villain again, then there's going to be a lot of backlash or comparisons to Star Trek. But if they give him a different role where he's not a villain, I think it could work out.
All right. Now that we got you on the line, Kev, what would you like to discuss this week?
I will go with Dakota Johnson is Anastasia.
Really?
Yeah.
Fifty Shades of Grey?
Why not?
You a fan?
No, I've never read it.
All right.
You have to listen to Gilbert Gottfried reading it. That's why.
Yeah, I've heard that. It was hilarious. All right.
So after rumors swirled around actress like Emma Watson, imagine Emma Watson. I could see her doing that, although I've never read the book or anything, but I don't know. It'd be an interesting role for her. So after rumors swirled around actresses like Emma Watson for the lead role in Universal Pictures and Focus Pictures' anticipated adaptation of the erotic best-selling romance 50 Shades of Grey, Deadline reports The Social Network, 21 Jump Street, and five-year engagement supporting actress Dakota Johnson has landed a lead female role as Anastasia Steele, an impending college graduate who strikes up an S&M romance with successful young entrepreneur Christian Grey. Physical and emotional dominant to her submissive personality. The move seems surprising among the first inspection, but it really isn't, apparently. Kebo Trek, let's get your thoughts. She was the lead. She was like the teen, right? When you're having that first drink scene in The Social Network, she was the girlfriend?
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, because I don't remember her either in it.
Who else
but,
could be? I can't really think of anyone else it could be.
Yeah, but wasn't she darker haired? I don't know. But anyways, so I'd like to get your thoughts on this being like a male. What do you think the... this is going to do box office wise. You know, the book apparently has sold really well. A lot of happy females, a lot of vaginal steam released from this book. So do you think the movie would adaptation would do well? Or I wish I had Gallifrey on this week. She would be able to. But it's interesting, I guess, to get the male point of view. Let's get your thoughts on this.
I guess it would depend on if they end up going for an R rating or an NC-17. But I guess there's no way they'll end up getting an NC-17 rating.
No, there's no way. That's going
to destroy the movie. So I guess
they want the general audience.
Yeah, that's
probably
it. I think it'll do pretty good, actually. Unless something goes really, really wrong, we're not going to be seeing like $100 million budget to make this. You know, there's no special effects, none of that. It's just basically a story. And you know, they have Dakota Johnson, and I forget who they cast as Christian Grey. I think they cast someone. I don't remember who it was, but they're basically.
Charlie Hunnam
from Sons of Anarchy, which is one of the most popular shows in the States right now, and the lead star of Pacific Rim.
Oh, there you go. But I mean, generally, they're pretty unknown. So I think in terms of like their salary, it won't be that high. And I don't know. I think it will do well. It has the buzz. And I like that they went with unknown actors, because if you look at everyone's favorite series, Twilight, that's pretty much what they did with all the lead actors in there. And you know, it worked out really well for them.
So you figure that's the magic formula, you know, cast maybe it started with a lower budget, cast some unknown. So in case it doesn't do well, it's not that big of a loss for the movie studio.
I think so. And especially like, I mean, if you compare it to Twilight, where, I mean, Twilight, there is a lot of special effects and all that. And the budget did go up after the first one did so well. Whereas these movies, you know, even if they do make three, I can't see it like really swelling to a massive budget, because all you'd basically have to do is pay higher salaries for the director, the producer, and the two stars. So I think it's the way to go for these movies.
There you go. Carp, what would you like to discuss this week?
Well, I don't see any Batman, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's the first week in about 8 or 9 episodes that we do not have a Batman story.
I'm kind of torn. There's two I actually want to talk about, but
Kurt Russell.
I'll go with Spader as Ultron.
Yeah, that's big news too. James Spader has been officially cast as the villain Ultron in Marvel's Avengers: Age of Ultron. The Emmy Award-winning actor will play the voice of the robot character in a highly anticipated sequel, which hits screens May 1st, 2015. Your thoughts on this casting? He doesn't seem to be lead actor material to me. What do you think about this?
Well, it is going to be voice acting. Ultron is a robot. It's the original rumor that I read, it was supposed to be Paul Bettany, who voices Jarvis in the Iron Man series.
Okay.
He was going to turn into Ultron, which I like that idea. But now it's going to be something else. It's supposedly going to be created by Iron Man. the Ultron character instead of Giant / Ant-Man, which is the original storyline. But I've liked James Spader as an actor. I really liked him in Stargate. He was all right in The Office for what little I watched it, but I think he'll do quite well as the evil voice character of Ultron, who is trying to wipe out the Avengers and all humanity.
Let's talk about, I usually don't choose news stories, but let's talk about Kurt Russell quickly. I think this is a great choice for him to be a supporting role in an already amazing cast. You know, some of these older actors, I think they can definitely be used properly, not to lead, but to really enhance the main cast. Anybody disagree with me? I think it's a great choice.
Well, Fast and Furious is now becoming Expendables level.
Yeah, it's casting. Like, why not do the same thing? It works well, right? So you've got an older franchise like Fast and Furious. People know what it is already. The fifth and sixth versions had a big cast, and it's done really well. And it's not like they're going to cost so much for Kurt Russell, right? So why not enhance that cast, have all these supporting actors, make it Expendables-like, and make a ton of cash?
I guess. I don't know. The last time Kurt Russell was in a car was Death Proof, and he was great in that. But that was, you know, Tarantino's writing with a great, great car chase scene and a great car crash at the beginning of it. You know, he knows how to drive a vehicle in a movie.
Let's get into the movie review of the week. So, from what I was told, Carp was able to get an advanced screening of Getaway, and I believe Carp and Kebo Trek were able to watch those. Let's get your thoughts.
I liked it. It was fun. Car crash scenes were really well done versus what everybody else has said on the internet about how they were shit because they were actually real.
Why do you think people have been shitting on it?
I think because people expect the over-the-top, like, transporter Fast and Furious wrecks now versus actual realistic car wrecks. Like, every single car that broke apart, you could tell was real. I mean, the place apparently had a junkyard after a week of filming.
That's
so
awesome.
I liked it. The character interaction between Ethan Hawke, John...
Voight.
John Voight. I was about to say Lithgow for some reason. and Selena Gomez, like, the... You know, that's all you really needed with those three actors, with the extra parts there, with the car crashes, and, like, your prototypical thugs at some points. I enjoyed it. For me, it's a 7 out of 10.
Kebo Trek, let's get your thoughts.
I enjoyed it, too, for the most part. It was one of those movies where you just shut off your brain for a couple hours. Like Carp mentioned, the car chases were really well done. They were realistic. And I liked that, you know, when they were getting chased, it was mostly by cops. So I think it added a bit of realism to... You know, well, I guess any movie's unrealistic, but added a bit of realism to it. I thought like Carp said again, the actors had great chemistry. The story, it was a fun story. The ending, I really loved the ending. You know, they didn't do the typical, so that's always nice to see. There's not too much to say about this movie. It's just one of those where, you're just basically watching car chases for 2 hours. If I have to say a negative, Selena Gomez's character, like, she's like almost like a know-it-all or a do-it-all. And it just, to me, it just kind of came out of nowhere. It's like, oh, she can do this. Oh, she can do this. And it's funny. She had like the most amazing iPad ever because it could do like everything. I'm like, why can't my iPad do that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I
technology
know.
Technology in movies has always been one of those like, oh, yeah, well, let's just hack the internet and do this thing and enhance the image like 50 billion times so you could see the license plate.
Yeah, exactly. It was like she was like 9 cameras on the car or whatever. And from her iPad, even though she'd never seen the cameras before, she can suddenly access them all. And
yeah, you kind of have to, like you said, it's one of these shut your brain off.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Convenient for the story.
Yeah,
know?
So I was nitpicking. She looked great, which she always does, so that's another positive.
What do you think about these car chase scenes being crapped on the internet? Do you think it's, you know, just spoiled brats wanting this Fast and Furious, people jumping off bridges and stuff? Isn't it good that they actually did some realism in this movie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's one of the best thing about the movie was the car chase scenes and everything to do with that, because we so rarely get that kind of realistic portrayal. You know, again, like Carp said, we're getting the Fast and the Furious type stuff. And yeah, that's fun for laughs, but I like that this took a more serious approach to having car chase scenes.
Any shaky cam in this?
There's a little bit, but it actually made sense for the movie, which I think, you know, you rarely see these days. And when it does make sense, I'm okay with a little bit of it.
Would you give it on 10?
I will give it 7.5 car crashes on 10.
Wow,
I couldn't think of anything witty there.
You dug deep there.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything witty. Or, you know what? No. 7.5 iPads on 10.
All right, go ahead.
I got another review. I actually caught your next.
Oh, you're next.
Yes.
The Goldberg documentary. Go ahead.
No, the horror flick. It was really good. It was kind of Home Alone meets, I guess, The Strangers. You've ever seen it?
No.
Quick story synopsis. Family gets together to do a parents' anniversary thing. Three people show up and start killing off the family members. And one of the girlfriends of a family member is a survivalist. So she knows all these tricks to try and survive. There's a couple of great twists. Some of the traps that the chick sets up was really good. Some of the murders by the murderer guys or the killers. Some of the kills were really well done. They were not CGI. They were you know, classic gore special effects. So it was really good. Some great twists, a great ending. I highly recommend seeing it. It's a solid 8.5 out of 10. 8.5 axe murders out of 10.
There you go. If you are a horror movie fan, go check that out. Let's get into the weekend box office for this week. One Direction, This Is Us. This is directed by Morgan Spurlock, I believe. $15.8 million with a $10 million budget. This is going to definitely be a small profit for the studio. I did not think that One Direction could top a box office. It definitely shows their draw and their popularity. Even though they did get booed at the MTV Movie Awards, they still have a decent fan base. So I'm curious to see what the drop off is though next week. Speaking of low drop off, Lee Daniels the Butler racked in another $14.8 million. It's the Big Fat Greek Wedding of 2013, only a 9.8% drop-off. It's got a total domestic of 74. We're the Millers as well, very low, 2.5% drop-off. That's really cool to see these movies with good legs. We're the Millers came in at number 3 with $12.7 million. It's got a total domestic of 109, budget of 37. Very profitable for the studio. Another debut this week, Instructions Not Included. I have no idea what this is. Anybody heard of this?
I don't even think we got it in Quebec, dude. I think it's a selected cities only thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, so in selected 348 theaters, it made $7.8 million for an average of $22,000 per screen. I'm going to look into this. This is pretty interesting. Number 5, Planes, came in with $7.7 million. Again, another low drop-off. It's got a total domestic gross of 70. Number 6, Elysium, $6.4 million again. Another low drop-off, 7%. Very impressive. Total domestic of 78. Number 7, The Moral Instrument, City of Bones, racked in another $5.4 million. It's got a total domestic of 22.9. Number 8, The World's End, racked in another $5 million. Number 9, Getaway, which we just discussed, only debuted with $4.5 million. A little surprised at that.
I can tell you
Ethan,
what.
Ethan Hawke's usually a draw. I mean, I know Ethan the market's Hawke's saturated, but...
Did you notice any commercials? Because I didn't.
Yeah, probably just
apparently
low.
There was some sort of thing between the director, producer, and falling apart with Warner Brothers, which caused Warner Brothers to way under, like, promote it.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're not getting any promotion, like, I only clicked on The Getaway on cinemamontreal.com. I'm like, oh, it sounds cool. So I'll enter to try and go see it. And I won the tickets, but I don't remember seeing any ads.
You know, and definitely with a saturated market, like what they have, a lot of veteran movies, but still doing well with low drop-offs. Yeah, that's a bad formula if you're not marketing it well. And it seems to be one of the big action movie. You do have to really throw a bit of cash into the promotional budget for it to do well. Number 10, Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, $4.4 million. Upcoming movies this week, we don't have a lot. We got Riddick. Let's play the trailer and get your thoughts.
Don't know how many times I've been crossed off the list and left for dead. So this ain't nothing new.
Bounty hunters. I've been hunting ready for 10 years.
He's the most dangerous man we've ever tracked.
Bounty's been doubled.
I've come to collect your head in a box, right here.
So yet again, we play for blood.
This is a man who sees in the dark. So watch out for surprise attacks.
What is it?
One down. Three down. You get where I'm going with this.
It's happening.
Time's up.
Let's cut him loose.
Riddick coming out this week. Vin Diesel, I just not a fan of his, and I know he does this in several movies, but it just in this movie, in this trailer especially, I find he's hard to understand. You know, people crap on the bad voice, but I don't know. Just I'm not a big fan of this franchise, so I'm definitely not going to see it. But you know, I might be in the minority. Let's throw it to Heavy Set. Get your thoughts.
I've never seen any of the movies, and I'm not going to see this one. No interest whatsoever.
Is it? It's not because of Diesel, right? It just there's no interest in the franchise at all?
Yeah, just no interest. I mean, I don't hate Vin Diesel, but there's like a lot of his movies I just don't have any interest in, period.
Kebo Trek, let's get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way as Heavy said. I've never actually seen any of the Riddick movies, and so if I were to watch this, I'd have to watch the other ones first, so it's probably an A for me.
Yeah. Karp, any interest in this?
Well, Pitch Black was good for the concept. Chronicles of Riddick was terrible. So I'm highly doubtful on this. I'd like to see Batista in a slightly bigger role than he's had before, though. So maybe a rental, probably when it's free on TV.
Yeah. Is Carl Urban the antagonist in this
No,
movie?
He was in the second one.
Because he's in the trailer. He's casted, apparently.
Yeah, because the way it ends off with Carl Urban, the way Chronicles of Riddick ends is the only reason I want to see Riddick is to see what they do with him. Because he like becomes like a king of people.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, apart from that, there's not too much coming out. You got a couple of limited releases, but you know, the market is saturated. You got a lot. If you haven't seen any movies lately, you got a lot to catch up on. So let's get into the world of DVDs. Kebo Trek, what's new this week?
It's pretty slim pickings again. It's the only thing that really stood out to me was Now You See Me, starring Jesse Eisenberg as Lafitte.
I legally acquired this movie myself. I haven't checked it out yet, but it's definitely a movie that you know you could rent and check out. Big cast, interesting storyline. Is this something you would you check out on DVD?
Yeah, definitely. I originally wanted to see it in the theater, never had the chance, but
yeah.
I think it looks like a really good concept, and it's always awesome to see, you know, Jesse Eisenberg and playing different kind of characters and stuff like that. And I believe they're making a sequel for it.
Oh, really?
Unless I'm mistaken, I think they are. So it's good to see that the movie did well enough that, you know, we'll be seeing more of the characters.
What did it do numbers-wise? I don't remember it really blowing the box office away,
No, neither do I, but I don't think it cost that much. I believe, it made $117 million.
What was the budget?
Oh, no, wait, shoot, it made $308 worldwide.
Wow.
On a budget,
on what budget?
Of $75.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. They want to, yeah, even after advertising and prints and that, definitely made a profit, so, yeah, that's good.
You guys
good.
Are missing the biggest one, though, coming up.
Yeah, I was going to mention it. The Cockney versus...
Nope.
What?
Okay, well... Cockneys versus Zombies is actually supposed to be pretty funny, but the other ones coming out are The Iceman. The cast looks awesome. Michael Shannon, Winona Ryder, James Franco, Ray Liotta, Chris Evans.
Oh, wow, how did I miss that?
I just have to read that cast.
Yeah, how come this is not considered like a majority film? I don't remember seeing this in theaters.
Dude, there's a few that are going straight to DVD that are like should have been wide releases. I mean, for the Amazon.com description, real life Iceman, Richard something I can't pronounce. He was a killer, and then a man who eliminated his mob boss's rivals, but also killed for the sake of killing. Yet he also managed a marriage, a family, in a small New Jersey town. If you're thinking, gee, that sounds like an awesome role for Michael Shannon, you're not alone. Here's the looming star of Take Shelter in a blunt gangland saga that hands him another chance at a scary leading role. So that looks awesome. Lords of Salem, Rob Zombie's next film, looks amazing if you've seen the trailers. And then there's this one straight to DVD. Liam Hemsworth, Emma Roberts, and Dwayne Johnson in Empire State.
Yeah, I've actually legally acquired this as well.
And,
so.
And there's one last one, which was the most popular one on Twitter ever for Sci-Fi Network, Sharknado.
Oh, Sharknado's already out on DVD.
Sharknado is coming out on DVD. And Sharknado 2 will be out around this time next year.
I got a question for these, straight-to-DVD movies. Wouldn't it make sense to actually just release it, even if it's for a couple of weeks? You have the property anyways. Like, what's the budget to release a couple of prints and send them to theaters? Like, why not?
Here's my other thing is, I think we kind of get screwed because we're in Canada, whereas I'm sure these get small releases in, like, L.A., you know, whatever small local cinema that doesn't have all the big stuff constantly, and let's say Los Angeles, New York, your big markets like that. I'm sure they have local places that play them for like 2 weeks that your numbers never show up. Like, this instruction's not included that we saw. We didn't see that anywhere in Canada. So
that's true.
And another thing to consider is, like, if you're putting them in the theater, you're replacing something else. And in a lot of cases,
Limited screens.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah. So, I mean, the theaters are going to go with what's the most profitable. And, yeah, maybe they do okay, but I don't think the cost would justify putting them there.
Yeah, like, I mean, even in cinemas this week, you got your limited releases of Hell Baby and Dead Before Dawn 3D. They were at Fantasia in Montreal. They sold out in Montreal for their one screening. So these are festival films as well, some of these guys.
Yeah. All right, let's check out the world of Netflix for this week.
Each of these cards contains a detailed scenario of a possible apocalyptic event. Everything from wildfires to a surprise invasion by Canada.
Sheldon, Canada is not going to invade California.
You really? You think those hippies in Washington and Oregon can stop them?
On the U.S. side, we've got, it's pretty slim pickings, we've got The League Season 4, which is good. Love that. And Apollo 18 on the Canadian side. I think we've got it this week. We got Hitchcock. We've got Parental Guidance. And we've got Bucky Larson. So, yeah, Hitchcock and Parental Guidance. I think Canada's got it this week. Any people naysaying me?
I don't know. I love The League. So
yeah, but that's true. So what would you give it to this week, Abby?
I got to go with us, especially in our household, because there's Scandal and Once Upon a Time. And those are two shows my girlfriend absolutely loves.
Okay, I think that's a vote for America. Kembo Trek.
If I'm allowed to include The League, I'll go to America as well.
Hey, wow. Carp?
Yeah, with The League, it's America, but there's this other one, Resolution, sounds pretty cool. And WWE Top 25 Rivalries. How are you not all over the U.S. one?
Yeah, I just seen that myself, too. Yeah.
Check that out if you are a pro wrestling fan. Let's get into Carp's Bargain Bin.
I love sluts. They're the best. They're so much easier than all the rest. I love sluts, I love whores, I love tramps, I love skis, I love sluts. I love sluts.
Carp's Bargain Bin for this week. What do you got, brother?
Movie's called 13. It stars a relatively unknown Sam Riley, and then Jason Statham, Mickey Rourke, Alexander Skarsgård, and Michael Shannon.
Wow.
Made in 2010. A simple synopsis. A naive young man assumes a dead man's identity and finds himself embroiled in an underground world of power, violence, and chance where men gamble behind closed doors on the lives of other men. Basically, simple is this kid, played by Sam Riley, Vince. His dad's like in the hospital and he's got all these medical problems. So he's doing all this side electrician work. One of the guys he works for dies. He takes his ticket to this contest. They never name what it is. And it's basically, it starts off 20 guys. You're each given a bullet in an old revolver. You spin, put the gun in to the back of the guy's head in front of you, and you pull the trigger. And then there's other people betting on who survives and who kills who. It's actually pretty good. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I'd give it a 7 out of 10 for Carp's Bargain Bin.
Awesome. All right, Carp, thank you very much. No listener feedback for this week, so let's close the show. Let's get your final thoughts and plug. Start with Heavyset.
Okay. Kayfabe Sports Radio on Twitter and Facebook. All the links are now at one particular location, www.kayfabesports.com. Yes, we are moving up in the world.
There we go. Got your own .com. I'm impressed, brother.
Yeah, we're finally trying to get stuff up, have Joe back, and NFL Easy Picks. By the time this episode airs, we will have 2 episodes up and ready.
All right, good stuff. Carp, let's get your plugs and final thoughts.
As always, you can find me on Twitter, Killer Carpe Diem, and StableWars.com. We're always looking for new members. If you signed up, there was a random drawing for a winner of Scott Keith's Dungeon of Death book, which is basically all the people who have trained in the Hart family dungeon who have died and such.
All right, awesome. Kebo Trek, let's get your ICQ number and final thoughts.
I guess go see Getaway if you want a couple hours of mindless entertainment.
There you go. So let's close our show with our mystery trailer. Let's see if you guys can figure it out. Blurt it out when you know.
The mind of a man confined works differently than someone on the outside. He sees things in a different way. A successful breakout depends on three things. Knowing the layout. Understanding the routine.
Stallone Schwarzenegger movie.
What's it called?
Oh, crap.
Escape plan.
Boom, Carp wins it. Let's play the rest of the trailer.
Side or in.
We got a runner.
Put your hands in the air now!
Showtime.
Ray Breslin is able to break out of any prison designed by man.
We're testing a prototype facility to deal with people no government wants on their books. The people financing this need to know these facilities are escape-proof.
Contact on site.
The warden's name is Roger Marsh.
When do we start?
We just did.
Welcome to your new home.
I'm Warden Hobbs.
Hobbs. Where's Warden Marsh?
There is no Warden Marsh. This is the reality, and there's no way out.
Go make some friends. You're gonna need them.
Back away.
Who were you before you came in here?
I break out of prisons for a living.
You don't look that smart.
You don't either.
The people who paid for you to be here want you here forever.
Ray's gone off the grid. Where is he?
This is the Shadow World.
Code name the tomb. Phrase anywhere, it's it.
Where is here?
I don't know. This was a setup. Somebody wanted to bury me.
You have a choice. You can die in here, or you can get out and punish.
Who put you here? I'm gonna find out who, and I'm gonna find out why.
Let's do it.
I need a diversion.
Okay.
You hit like a vegetarian.
That's good.
What's he up to?
They're planning an escape.
Lockup procedure engaged.
Drag the rats back to their cages.
If I don't get out, I kill you.
Fair enough.
Your time is up!
You tell whoever put me here, I'm gonna burn this place to the ground.
Wrestling knowledge. Breaking down the week's news and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Are you ready?
Did you know we've moved?
Move it! I like to move it, move it. Just move it. Come on, move it.
Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table. And the same shows that you come to enjoy like Old School at the Movies, Pending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
We'll start off with our heavy man, our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset. Zack Snyder wanted mass deaths, Zack Snyder wanted mass deaths